It's the one and only Heavy Hole Podcast. My name is Big Will, a.k.a. Uncle Buck for the old listeners. My co-host this evening, Dave Gladdy. Welcome him back. How you doing, Dave?
Great to see you, man. It's been a while.
Great to see you. Yeah, it has been a while, man. I was just telling Dave, because I'm always traditional. Again, for the old listeners, they know I always say I'm above the table with everything. There's no tricks on the Heavy Hole Podcast. I front-loaded a lot of interviews in, like, January and February. People were, like, doing a whole tour and an album cycle, and then the interview still was. It was crazy. I took, like, a month off from the podcast. We had the afterbirth thing. I had a family thing. But now, you know, we're back. We opened up the books again. You're gonna find out about that later. But, Dave, it has been a while. Through this podcast magic, it doesn't feel like a while for the listeners, but what's going on, man? How you been?
I've been listening to a lot of music.
Big shock.
A lot of stuff that, like, I pre-ordered and, like, bought, like, a while ago and stuff like that, like, it all kind of hit this week.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just listening to, like, all these records and CDs and stuff.
Wow. How fortuitous for this podcast's need of content. Could you elaborate, Dave? What did you happen upon this week?
Let me think. I got Brutal Truth, Need to Control.
Whoa.
On vinyl from Earache.
Whoa.
That's something I got a while ago. Asuk, Anti-Capital.
Okay. 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 You threw me for a loop at first, because my brain takes a second to register that. I'm still saying ass suck from when I was like 15 years old.
Yeah, somebody told me that that's how it's pronounced, and I'm just like, all right, I have no fucking idea. I've never actually heard anybody say it before.
I'm sure I'm wrong, as I am in many points in my life today. I'm sure I'm wrong about the pronunciation of that band. Please go ahead.
See, what else did I get? I got Deaden, Feast on the Flesh of the Dead, the demo collection on vinyl.
Wow. I knew that's the thing. Like, I was like, Dave, what'd you get in the mail? I figured with you, it would be like this Pandora's box, of, like, riddled with underground nuggets of gold. Deaden. Did that, what label put that out? Where'd you get that from?
Corpse Gristle.
Of course.
I've been wanting this, the CD of it for ages, and it's just really hard to come by.
Yeah, I have a bit of a Deaden collection there, man, and I still flex have the original Deaden Feast on the Flesh of the Dead demo, man. That was a sick cutback. I got that from Infection Distribution. Shout out to Charlie Infection, man.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't the flexing since I turned 40 and up, the flexing doesn't feel as cool as when I first started the podcast. it doesn't feel as ironic.
Can I flex back on you?
Yeah, shoot.
All right, I went to a party at Matt Ferrara's house.
Oh,
and
okay.
Or it wasn't a party; it was like a gathering. Deaden was there.
Rest in peace to Matt. Yeah.
And then we all drove over to Long Island Rock Studios, LA Rocks, and I think it was, I can't remember. Deaden played a set, and I think Repudiation or Disfigured played. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
To like five people.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't. What was Deaden playing a show in New York at the time?
No, I forget, like, what they were, like, on their way someplace else or coming back from someplace.
Okay.
They didn't play like a proper show in New York. Yeah. They just kind of like were chilling in at Matt Ferrara's for some reason.
I didn't know Matt Ferrara very well. I was a few years younger than him.
I really didn't either. I just happened to be like, you know, a hanger on from that that group. So, you know.
I wasn't even as such. I called him one day. I got his number from somewhere because I was trying to book Repudiation on an ill-fated show that, like, 16-year-old me was trying to book at Crawdaddy's. And that just fell apart, too. But, like, I talked to him on the phone once. And then me and Paul Tavora, when I was in Cursed Earth with him, we hung out with some of those guys a few times, man. But he was always a friendly guy to me, man. A nice guy, especially in that age where people, you know, people could be a little standoffish, you know, at times, man. But, you know, he was a good guy, man. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Definitely a nice guy as far as that, as you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was I was just gonna tell you some more stuff that I got.
Yeah, let's proceed, man. Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in peace
I
to my
got
father.
The Imprecation demo
This guy.
collection.
I love Dave's lists of fuck of unpacking. All right, what is it again?
The demo collection.
Yeah.
I forgot what else.
No, wait. The Imprecation. Okay, so the Imprecation demo collection. So that's stuff that predates the Theurgia Goetius, whatever that, you know, the
that's the one. I thought it was a demo collection. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just, because it says compilation.
It's the infamous one from the 90s?
Yeah, like Third Theurgia.
Yeah.
Goetia Summa. Yeah, I thought that was a demo collection. I could very well be wrong.
I got here. I got this. It's from Repulse Records back in like 95. It's Theurgia Goetius Summa, and it's got It's the original compilation. It's the Sigil of the Baphomet EP, the Ceremony of Nine Angels demo. I think one other thing here, but it is a compilation. I've always thought of it as an album because we just used to listen to it kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it does more or less sound the same across the whole collection. Like, it's not like they're wildly different, like recording qualities or like writing styles. Do you know? I'm going to pronounce his name wrong.
Just yeah, go
Perfect ahead. Citizen. It's like the band. It's like an offshoot of Alienation Mental.
Say it again.
It's like the word perfect and the word citizen are like pushed together.
Not that I know that they started a band named that, but I think I read about that somewhere. But no, I'm not too familiar with that.
All right, I got a split 7-inch with them and. Fuck, who's the other band? Huh. Mashisha or something like that. It's like a Texas band. It's like a bunch of guys from like Devourment and those bands.
Yeah. I think I've seen that name around. Okay.
It's actually a really good song. I got to look to see if they have any other recordings. That was cool. And you ever heard of Optimum Wound Profile?
No, I haven't.
All right. It's a band featuring Phil Vane from Extreme Noise Terror.
Okay.
It's like they had an album out on Roadrunner in the 90s. And like I had me and Trevor had a compilation, a Roadrunner compilation that we listened to all the freaking time. And they had a song on it. And like a couple weeks ago, I just got fucking shit faced. And I was like, I'm going to buy me and Trevor that album that I hadn't heard since I was like fucking 15.
Trevor, your twin brother for the listeners.
Yeah, so I bought two copies of Discogs, and I just sat and listened to it for the first time the other day, and it's got its moments. It's not great.
I love it when you listen to those old school nostalgic cuts, and you're like, "Yeah, I was 15."
I get it. The one track that was on the comp like still holds up, but it's like, it doesn't stay like. The style changes from song to song.
Yeah.
So like a couple of the songs are cool, a couple of them are like kind of weird. But I spent like an embarrassing amount of money on two copies of that on vinyl. So
well, one was for your twin brother. Shout out to Trevor, man. I good memories of hanging out with you guys back in the day, man. I haven't seen him in a minute. We talked for the listeners too. We talked about Imprecation. We talked about Dead. And go back and check out our interviews with the entire band Imprecation and with Von Young of Dead. And from our past catalog of episodes, some real OGs. And we always try to include the younger generation and the up and coming bands and the newer bands on this podcast. I got to keep my ears to the street. I'm desperate to stay relevant. That's why I interview bands that are creeping on the come up, such as Groaning Wretch. Let's get into it.
Isolation.
This is Big Will from the Heavy Hole Podcast, and I'm here with Mike, AJ, and Matt of the band Groaning Wretch from Massachusetts and Connecticut, I believe. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
How's it going?
What's going on?
Thank you for your time, man. And we're going to get to each of you guys individually, and I think that'll probably clear up the Massachusetts, Connecticut thing, and we'll talk about the kind of New England death metal scene as we go. But just kind of round, like I said, guys, round tables to start off. Like I always do with multiple band members, Mike, give us a little bit about your history of music. Are you from a musical family, musicians older than yourself or anyone that got you into heavy metal and hardcore and things like that along the way?
Yeah. So, my dad listens to like old rock music and stuff, but nobody in my family is really musical. An old neighbor of mine showed me, like old screamo bands back in the day and emo bands, all that alternative stuff, Hawthorne Heights, Silverstein, Atreyu, and like metalcore. He was like one of my best friends, and he passed away like a few years after that. And then I started playing music, and I just never stopped from there. I found most of the bands I listen to nowadays myself, going to shows, going to local shows since I was like 14. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I pretty much found everything myself and from him.
Okay, and you're from Massachusetts or Connecticut?
I'm from Connecticut.
All right, was there rest in peace to your friend. I'm sorry that there's that part of the story there, but is there a local scene where you're from? Did you have shows, like, you know, within proximity where you grew up?
Absolutely. Yeah, we used to go to this place called the Amity Teen Center back in the day. It still exists, and they changed the name. I don't remember it, but yeah, it used to be called the Amity Teen Center. I used to go there like every single weekend. I've played there with like my bands after that years later. All the same. Like there's a band called this Pirates Often Do that used to play there all the time. Ender from New Jersey. They're still a band. Yeah, there's so many. I think Existence has played there. They're also from New Jersey. So that was and there's this place called The Space in Hamden. It's called, I think it's called The Cellar now. We used to go there like every weekend. And they're still a venue. They're cool.
All right, man. And going back, we're going to get into the history of Groaning Wretch and that sort of thing. But you mentioned before that you had played New York in another band you were in prior. I think it was called Pry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about bands that you were in the past that played out live and played original music and how far that goes back to teenage years, high school. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, my main band was always Pry. I joined that when I was 17. We used to be called Northeast. Then we were called Frontier Ethic. And then when we started actually writing music, like, to take it seriously, we changed our name to Pry. We came around, I think we put out our first single in 2014. We were a big local band at the time. We would always play out every weekend, like, in my city. I live in Milford, Connecticut. And then eventually, like, I want to say, like, maybe a couple years later, we started touring actively. We broke up around 2018. We played our final show a town away from Milford, where I'm from. And then I quit music for a little bit. I wasn't really feeling it. And then I joined Frog Mallet. Once Frog Mallet started playing live, I left Frog Mallet. I still wasn't really feeling playing live. It was still an internet band at the time. And I just wanted to have fun and record. And then they were starting to blow up. And then they started playing shows. I left. And then me and Sean, the guitar player, started Groaning Wretch. And the rest is history. Now we're a full band doing what I didn't want to do, to be honest.
That's interesting. And I want to get to that a little bit later when I have like the full Groaning Wretch conversation. But thank you for being patient, other guys. AJ, let's transition to you then. Same line of questioning. Musicians in your family older than yourself, anyone that got you into hardcore and metal along the way. And I don't know if you also want to mention, you're in a band called Cryptic Entity as well, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been doing that for a while. That's how I kind of, that was basically now I've only been in like three bands in the course of 10 years. And we had an old band name. We were under another name. So we started like 2013. And that was like basically my introduction into the local scene. And I had only gotten I've been listening to metal in general since 2010. I got into it about, I think it was either midway through freshman year or sophomore year. and I discovered like Slipknot, and then that evolved into more the old school death metal stuff, you know, Cannibal Corpse, Deicide, Decapitated. So that was kind of how I got involved in all this, more or less.
Okay, and how about as a musician? Are there musicians in your family of any genre or any instrument? And where does playing an instrument come in at like what age?
As far as I know, I don't think there's really anybody in my family or immediate family that was really a musician. But I started playing trumpet when I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I did that for a while until about like eighth grade. And once I started high school, I kind of fell out of it because I knew, like, in high school especially, it's like they take like band stuff like super serious. So I don't know. I wasn't really feeling that. I wasn't really, you know, kind of with it in terms of just doing playing trumpet, because we'd have to do like kind of concerts and stuff like after school or something like that in like an auditorium. And that just wasn't really my thing. So I kind of fell out of it for a while. And then, you know, I didn't really do anything musically for a few years. And then once I discovered like Slipknot, I idolized like Paul Gray for quite a while. So that's what got me into playing bass, especially since everybody in a band either does vocals or guitar. So I just knew like, yeah, no one wants to play the bass. So I figured that'd be my instrument of choice. I definitely prefer it over a trumpet. So.
But playing bass and playing drums will keep you in work in the underground metal scene. That's for sure, man.
Yeah,
always a hot commodity. So, like Mike mentioned at the beginning of Groaning Wretch, it was more of a studio project, and then it kind of evolved to where it is today. Where do you come into the picture? Like the kind of question I'm going to ask everyone, are you a Massachusetts or a Connecticut guy? And how do you kind of come into the fold with Groaning Wretch?
Well, obviously I have played shows with Mike's band Pry at the time. And when it came time to joining this band, they, I guess their former bass player, who was also in his other band, Pry, they decided that he was looking to, you know, kind of get in touches with me, since, you know, we kind of knew each other from going to shows and playing shows together 7, 8 years ago. And we just figured it was kind of it was the best opportunity for me to fill in that spot. And I'm basically from around the same area, but more central Connecticut. So
okay, and I'm gonna if I forget later, please don't hesitate to plug Cryptic Entity real quick. Is there anything going on that people should check out?
Really not too much, to be honest, but you know, we have our album Vestigium. We did that like 2 years ago. We dropped a single back in October. We're currently working on another single. And hopefully we can get an EP getting going on in the next few months. So just taking it one step at a time. But stuff has kind of came to a halt with the band. You know, we got band members moving and stuff like that. So that's definitely taking a lot of, you know, it's sucking a lot of time up. So, you know, we're just kind of waiting for things to kind of wind down with that.
Been there. I know how it is, man. Stick it out. All right. So yeah. At this point, I'm going to go to Matt, and ask you same thing I've been asking everybody, man. From Massachusetts or Connecticut, musicians in your family, and kind of your trajectory playing an instrument and getting into heavier music.
I'm from Connecticut, from like the more northwest part of the state, like Litchfield County. And I moved around a lot, like that general vicinity as a kid. There's no like in my direct family, there's not really any musicians that I can think of. But my stepmom, she's been with my dad for like 17, 18 years, and her brother's actually Pete Morsi of 100 Demons. Huh. And so I was exposed to like that, like scene of hardcore, like pretty young, and like all those guys, and like Sean Martin from Hatebreed and stuff. And I started with like the basics when I was a kid. Like just like I was super into Metallica and like Megadeth and Slayer. And then like when I was in high school, like some of my friends were like getting into like heavier shit, and I started like really getting into like Acacia Strain, Suicide Silence, Hatebreed, stuff like that. Kind of just like, you know, textbook, like bigger stuff. I started playing guitar when I was like 7, and that's pretty much just like all that shit is like what I was just like trying to learn on guitar. I didn't like play in like a serious band until I was probably like in my late teens, at least. Like I would like jam with my friends and stuff, and like I started going to shows when I was like in high school, but I didn't like actually like think about or like consider like being in a band until I was probably like 16 or 17, and then I didn't even like start playing heavy music live and like recording it until I was like in my really early 20s. And then yeah, so it's probably been like 5 years that I've been like really involved in like the heavy scene and stuff and playing in it and you know, like recording stuff and like actually doing shit with it rather than just like going to shows and listening to music.
So what's some of your other music out there from other projects that people can look up?
Well, I'm in another band called Corroded Carcass, and it's two of the members of it are from like another local Connecticut like brutal death metal band called Roots of Deception. We got stuff on Spotify. We have a new single coming out on April 20th. So I do stuff with them, but like old stuff, it's like I was in a like a rock band called like Dew out in like California. And we have like an EP on Spotify. It's DEW. It's like all instrumental stuff. It's kind of funny. I'm on like some acoustic stuff with like Riley Cotton. She's like a folk singer. And I have like some guitar work with her. She's on Spotify too. She's really talented. I was in a heavy band called Murder Monday. I'm on one of the EP, the like most recent EP that they put out. From like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, so all that stuff.
Keeping busy, man. Sounds like you got a well-rounded catalog developing, man.
Yeah, I've tried to hop around, you know.
Yeah, and I saw Roots of Deception at the Connecticut Death Fest a few weeks ago.
Yep.
I want to get some of those guys on the. I got a long list of people here. Speaking of people, Rob, is that Rob?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry for joining late. I was at another show that my friends opened up for, and the turnout they said wasn't going to be great, so I wanted to make sure that I got there early for them. So unfortunately, conflicting times.
Wow, Wednesday evening show early. It's like
That's
slime.
yeah.
I actually really like the fact that you hop in the interview like midway because you were like at a show and you like this is pretty sick. So
Yeah.
this might be the first time we had this happen on the Heavy Hole podcast. I'm gonna get to like asking about your history and everything like everyone else, but let me what's the band you just saw and what's the venue, man? If you want to just kind of shout out the situation for people listening.
Yeah, so the venue is Cherry Street Station. It's in Wallingford in Connecticut. It's a pretty big staple venue, or not a big venue, but like a staple venue over here. And then the band that I went to go see is my friends in Burning Hand, but they're opening up for Enforced, which is like a really, well, as far as I'm concerned, one of the only like good new thrash bands out there, and another band called Blazing Tomb, which is out of Richmond. They're like an old school style death metal.
Awesome. All right, man. I don't like that I'm keeping you from watching the bands right now, man. I feel
No, it's okay. There's a few other in between. I'll get back to it eventually, but we knew that we had this. I just wanted to support the homies, so you know.
I really appreciate that. And I'm actually really psyched that we have this like real-time thing going on with the podcast right now with you going to a show. But with no further ado, Rob, you made the effort to be. I asked everybody else, were there musicians older than themselves in their family? Was there anyone that guided you into heavier music growing up or anything like that? And then also your kind of first experiences playing an instrument and how that goes.
Okay, yeah. So nobody in my family is very musical at all. And music actually in my family is not even really a very big thing. I mean, my family, or like my mom and dad, listen to a lot of like country growing up, but like as their main thing, but like they still didn't really have music on in the house a lot, and like none of them played, which is kind of crazy because my grandpa was like a like band leader for the town. So I don't know how that happened. Maybe it skipped a generation. But I think I basically got shepherded in by like a lot of the kids that I hung out with in high school, because most of my friends were like 2 or 3 years older than me. And I think I like kind of started dipping my foot into like heavy stuff, but not really so much until probably like 16. And then I think I heard like Nihility by Decapitated, and it like absolutely blew me away. And I was like sold on death metal from that moment forth. And I like skipped a lot of the intermediate steps that a lot of people had, because I know a lot of people kind of usually go like new metal and then into like a little bit heavier and then get to death metal. I pretty much went like straight in from like super light stuff to death metal like almost overnight with like no transition in. So weirdly enough, I've kind of been reeling back my music taste over the years. Still big death metal guy, but definitely have started to delve back on some of the stuff that I probably missed as a kid that a lot of other kids got in their like probably like early to late teens and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then as far as I guess like playing, sorry, I forgot to answer that piece. I started playing probably like 16, 17 seriously. And then just been trying to keep up since then. I was probably better in high school than I am now at this point. So trying to get back there.
And were you in any bands that played out and played shows and had original songs before you joined Groaning Wretch?
Yeah, quite a few, but, I would say the only ones that are probably worth mentioning was I played in this, I guess death metal adjacent band called Eyes Wired Shut, which probably got labeled deathcore, but was pretty much a death metal band. It just had some breakdowns in it, so naturally got categorized as that. And then I also played in this, I guess, like blackened hardcore band called Hellkeeper. And it was like out of upstate New York, with a lot of guys who are in some bigger things now. So yeah, it's been a little all around. I mean, probably not quite as diverse as Matt's background, but yeah, I've been a little all over the place in terms of genres, because nobody wanted to play death metal with me growing up. And it wasn't until I moved to Connecticut a few years ago that it like really started popping off. And the Massachusetts scene over here is like absolutely wild. So it wasn't until recently that I really had a chance to like get into what I wanted to be playing, because it just like wasn't popular, or at least popular near where I was. I know Long Island's been popping off for quite a bit of time, but that was a little further than I was I guess comfortable practicing at the point in time when I lived in New York. So
yeah, I mean, you the travel and the commute alone, it's Long Island's a terrible place for this. For band practices.
Yeah.
You usually have to drive to New York City and all that. All right. So I got a few questions here. I kind of got all your guys' backstory for the most part. And, you know, as I said before, please, you know, remind me, you know, when we're closing up towards the end, if anyone has anything to plug or talk about with other projects and that sort of thing. But Groaning Wretch. Now, I listened to your EP, and you have a new single from earlier this year, 2024. A lot of questions here. First, I guess we'll go with the obvious question: are you working on a new release coming up soon? New songs, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So we have a split coming out this spring with that single included on it with our friends in Tar. They just finished it up, so we're waiting to hear back on that, and then we're going to probably just put it out, to be honest, promote it. at the moment too, we are really working on a full length and like a huge, kind of like a huge shift in sound, but not too huge to the point where it doesn't sound like us. We really want to like step our game up in that sense, but we're working on a full length. That's pretty much all I got to say on that.
Okay, man. Okay, and here's the thing. I take it most of you guys are correct me if I'm wrong, and you're like early 20s, roughly.
I'm almost 30. I'm 28. I turned 29 this year.
Okay, all due respect, it's almost the same. I'm 42, and all I'm getting at with that question is the idea that death metal has kind of had this real big boom the last few years.
Oh yeah,
it's also crossed the hardcore scene a lot, and even you being a few years older than maybe some of the other guys, or older than your early 20s. It's that generation of people who are in their 20s and who are a little bit younger right now where I feel like it's really happened. Rob, you said that you were trying to play death metal for years and it never clicked. Do you feel like maybe like the ability to find more like-minded people has like it's gotten easier the last few years with the crossover?
Yeah, I would say yes and no. I think it's just because generally speaking, I've always had a really like, well, it hasn't been consistent, but I've always had like a very specific sound in mind at periods, like certain periods of time, and finding people that are like into those things are not generally on the same page with me, because I guess my tastes are probably never the popular tastes. But I would say as a whole, like for death metal, yeah, there's definitely been a huge, huge resurgence. And you're saying resurgence, and for me, I feel like it's the first time in my life that I've actually had like peers or people in the music scene that have been into like a lot of similar stuff. But the weird thing is I'm 32, and like in Massachusetts, all the kids that are coming up are like actual kids, which feels a little weird, because a lot of them are like between 17 and like their early 20s, which just feels weird as like a 32-year-old, because I don't want it to be like a creepy situation. But like, there's this one band, Wretched Inferno, out of Mass, that like I think their youngest member isn't even out of high school yet, and they're like absolutely crushing it. And they played that Connecticut Death Fest that you guys headlined as well.
Yeah, great band, Wretched Inferno. I saw them. I'm 42, so I know exactly what you mean, plus 10 years on that awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was wrong in my assumption that everyone is from a certain age group in this band, but I think I just meant that because the way the scene is seems in Connecticut and Massachusetts right now. If anyone else wants to kind of jump in on this topic, you know, please don't let me stop you.
Yeah, I would say like right now, I would say Mass, New Hampshire, New York, Connecticut. Connecticut has some great, Fatal Sacrament's a great band from Connecticut. But as far as like the death metal scene, there's a good handful of bands, but like outspread to like New Jersey, New York, and Mass and New Hampshire, I would say that's where it's like thriving right now. And I wanted to say before too, technically right now, all of our members are just Connecticut. So we're not a Mass band anymore. I'm going to say that right now.
Oh yeah. True. Yep.
Yeah. I just wanted to correct that from before.
Metal Archives. Shout out to Metal Archives.
Yeah. They'll update.
Well, no, it was true. Like 2/3 of the members of, I guess, like the original members were Mass. So, that would have been corrected. Just we've had some switches.
I would say New England death metal is probably like one of the best scenes for death metal as a whole, just grouping them all together. I know Ohio's doing great. I think death metal is probably like, aside from like arena deathcore bands, death metal is like the most thriving thing right now, to be honest. And I'm really happy about it.
And that's something interesting that Rob said before about it's like the first time that, you know, because I got into death metal in the late 90s when it wasn't very popular to listen to a lot of death metal. If you were in the metal scene, a lot of people were going towards black metal. Hardcore was kind of taking over the more mass, you know, consciousness. Yeah. Of the scene. Slipknot was like the hot new thing and shit. So like to listen to death metal was like, it wasn't really popular when I got into it. Then I've kind of seen it teeter back and forth, but never like the way it's been the last several years. So it's interesting. Yep. You guys' perspective on that. Now, you mentioned Connecticut. You cleared up the Massachusetts thing. New Hampshire, maybe I'm ignorant. I think I've performed in New Hampshire maybe one time, but I don't see it come up on a lot of tour sheets. I don't hear a lot about, but you guys recently played up there, no?
Yeah, we just played a show there with a bunch of hardcore bands. We do that sometimes. It was a cool show. It was at the Jewel. The reason I said New Hampshire is because this is a recent thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Bonginator, but the vocalist of Bonginator puts on like a fest now every year called the New England Death Metal Funtime Bonanza. It's at this house in New Hampshire that this dude turned into an entire venue. He has an outdoor stage, and I know it's probably like mass crossover into New Hampshire because it's like right on the border, but like when we played that last year, that was probably, like, coming from someone who's been playing in bands since he was 17, that was probably like the craziest show I've ever played. So,
and then also on top of that, like, I know that I can understand the fact that not a lot of, I guess, tour packages usually get up there, but it's definitely starting to break out a lot more, because even a bunch of friends, like actually the guys in Roots of Deception, ended up going up a few weeks ago. And it was like a Mortal Suffering, Pyrexia. So like the whole Long Island OG death metal guys all ended up there for, I think, like a one-off show. So I think that the death metal stuff is also starting to make its way up there, because there's a good group of new wave of death metal bands coming out of that like Vermont, New Hampshire area as well. Yep. But yeah, I mean, I still think for tour packages and stuff like that, booking wise, it's kind of getting a little overlooked, but I think that'll probably change over the next year or so.
Yeah, I give it 2 years.
Let me ask you, I just want to get like kind of your perspectives on this, man. Anyone can jump in. I'll try to give you guys time. Please cut me off if I cut you off. Here's a question. Why do you think so many kids nowadays, yeah, and I say kids, I'm talking about people in their 20s, people who are, a lot of people who are coming out to your shows, who are kind of like keeping this death metal thing booming nowadays. Why do you think so many people are really into the underground and they don't stop at Slipknot and Cannibal Corpse and this type of stuff? Like, what do you think is the allure of the underground, and why is it so popular nowadays? My theory, you know, I'll give you my theory, but I think it has to do with people wanting to embrace the underground culture more.
I think so too, but I would say honestly, TikTok.
Wow,
that's a huge app for music now. Man, they turn like all those bands that we've been growing up since like 2009 into like arena bands now, like Lorna Shore. Like, my God, I think TikTok is like a huge place for music right now. Like, look at Kublai Khan. That's like the perfect example. Like, that band came up like being like a deathcore band, and now they're just like, they just put out metalcore hits, and like all the kids go to their shows, and like they're all young. I think TikTok for like young kids like moving into the music scene, and, like, checking out metal and stuff is a really good like place for that. I've noticed a lot of the shows that we've played, like Rob said before, like it's a lot of younger crowds, but they pack, and it's crazy, especially around here, like Mass. Anytime we play like the Middle East, like I notice it's like 17 year olds just coming in and like push moshing each other, and like they pack out the room. It's crazy. But yeah, I would say TikTok is a huge platform for music right now.
I didn't see that coming as a guy over 40. That's interesting, man.
You'd think so. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I gotta hire a teenager to do a TikTok account for one of my bands now.
Hey, they're all doing it. Every band's doing it. It's all on there.
All right. That's interesting. Okay, I'm glad I asked that, man. So, let's skip ahead a little bit, because you guys are, we're gonna have this episode out probably the week before you guys are doing your run coming up, where you're going to hit, for the Long Island local listeners, you're gonna be at Shaker's Pub on the 24th of April. Then we're going to talk about that. But then the next day, the 25th, you're going to be at the Skid Row Garage, Pennsylvania. That sounds like another fun spot. 426 is up in the air. Reach out to these guys on social media. Maybe they got it figured out by the time they listen to the episode. Maybe they don't. 427, Meat Locker, my alma mater. Then 428, the Beer Axe in Connecticut. That's a great place where the Connecticut Death Fest was held. So I just want to shout that out for any listeners who are in those regions. But if you guys want to take a minute, if there's anything I got wrong, anything that's changed, or anything you want to talk about with any of that, other bands that are doing the tour, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, shout out Malignancy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're playing the Beer Axe date.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. And that's, yeah. I saw that. I didn't realize that was like corresponding with your tour.
I think there's this band called Burrito Bowel. It's a very interesting name. I've never heard of them. They're playing at Shaker's Pub. Servant of Sorrow. They're homies from New York. Man, I don't know.
My Burrito Bowel is Jordan, who until I guess very recently.
I think we're losing you, Rob. I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I think it probably switched over to Bluetooth in my car. Yeah, no, the drummer for Burrito Bowel is Jordan, who until very recently was the vocalist of Immortal Suffering.
Oh, word. Okay.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's his other band.
Yeah, I've known Jordan a while, man. We've had a whole episode with him quite a while back. So I think when Burrito Bell was just a new band, yeah, that's the ill name.
I've never heard of them before, so I'm assuming they're a pretty new thing.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to see them live yet, man. But I'm looking forward to that show. There's actually a ton of shows coming up at Shaker's Pub through April and May, so people should definitely look that out and start off with yours that night. So, and are there, did I get that wrong? Is this run of shows with another band, or is it just you guys hitting up all these places?
So it's Tar and us are like co-headlining, and then we have Roots of Deception as the, they're coming with us too. So shout out to all of them. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Okay, man. And like I said, I got to see Roots of Deception at the Connecticut Death Fest. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have enough time to interview them and get it out before this run you guys are doing, but we'll try to get around to them eventually. Shout out to them. And with that being said, you also said the other thing I had written down is this New England death metal fun time bonanza
in
Litchfield, New Hampshire, June 28th through June 30th. I encourage people to look that up and just look at the poster and the lineup.
Yeah, that is a crazy show. 3 days of just like unexpected bands. Like he really like worked hard on getting like some bigger bands this year. I know we're playing, I think we're playing the Saturday of that weekend. So we should be playing with some pretty cool bands that day.
And it's just a really fun festival too. It's like people camp out there. It's like the whole deal. It's just, it's such a great time. And I think the thing that makes it like a lot more fun than a lot of other festivals, it's like a lot of the time the festivals are like at venues and stuff like that. And so you're like standing the whole time and like limited to, I guess like the venue space and stuff like that. And this is like cool, 'cause it's like going camping and then also watching death metal at the same time. So it's pretty rad.
I might have to make a trip up, man. I don't know. I'm not going to make any promises, 'cause I'm a little bit older nowadays to do the camping. I might not make it back, but, I start parking with people half my age. I might not make it home, but, that sounds like an awesome time. All kidding aside, there's a lot of really cool, like there's the Full Terror Assault Fest. There's all these really great regional fests, and all due respect, all kidding aside, to Maryland Death Fest, I really do think that they kind of pioneered this thing where a lot of smaller regional fests are taking the cue now. And, yeah. You know, it's good for the scene in general. And now there's the market for it. Like we were talking about before, there's all sorts of people. There's still a lot of like older people older than myself that are diehard for this shit too, especially in that New England territory. And with that being said, I kind of want to like switch back now to Groaning Wretch and the idea of New England death metal. You guys recently played with Vomit Forth.
Oh yeah.
We had their drummer. I don't believe Nick is playing drums for them anymore. If I got that right.
No, they had a different drummer at the show that we played with them.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, to be honest.
Yeah. Heard it through the grapevine. All kidding aside, but shout out to Nick. We did a whole interview with Nick a few years ago when Vomit Forth was kind of like newer on the scene. And shout out to Vomit Forth. We'll get up with the current lineup of the band and some of those guys in the future. But I'm just making this whole point because we had Nick on a few years ago, and he talked about this kind of like Northeastern death metal, New England death metal concept. We talked about bands like Morpheus Descends and I'm thinking of Disgorged from upstate New York, like OG band. I want to kind of go around and, you know, give all you guys the opportunity, whoever wants to hop in, but talk about bands maybe that you feel are like fit in with, like when you think about Groaning Wretch and your inspirations for this like regional death metal and more local death metal that inspires what you want to do. But let's just name drop a little bit about some of those bands and just like from your perspectives.
Well, I'm at fourth.
There you go.
I'll let Rob talk about that one. He knows.
Are we talking like for our region or just like bands that we would want to like do stuff with elsewhere in the future?
Talking about the North Eastern, the New England death metal concept.
Okay.
Same way that I might talk about being inspired by bands like Internal Bleeding and Suffocating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Because we've played with Immortal Suffering. So that was a huge thing for us. That was awesome. Honestly, like we've played with most of the local New England death metal bands, and we've expanded past that too. I would shout out Fatal Sacrament. They're from Connecticut. They're like a kind of lower band right now. They are really good. They're like 200 stab wounds kind of. Bonginator, obviously they're pretty big right now. Frog Mallet, they're the homies. I used to be in that band.
Roots of Deception, 100%.
Roots of Deception, absolutely. Tar, you know, you got to shout out all our homies.
Respiratory Secretion is also doing some really rad stuff, mm-hmm. and they're in like this other band that's like, I guess, a branch off of basically all the same members called Verguzzi, which is really, insane. Really sick, like BDM insane stuff. Band. And then Permanent Disfigurement from up in New Hampshire is also really super sick. So, and Wretched Inferno, who we probably play with most often other than Roots of Deception, just absolutely, absolutely kills it.
Yep.
All due respect to New Hampshire, hearing about death metal bands from New Hampshire almost feels like exotic, like hearing about them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Frog Mallet's pretty like local to New Hampshire because Sean, the guitar player, he lives like on the line of it. So I would even put them in that realm because they're always around there, Boston, New Hampshire, like they're pretty close to each other. Yeah. I know New Hampshire is like a very, it's honestly like more of a hardcore scene, I would say. It's always been like,
it is.
When I was in my old band, we played the Bungalow and it was just all hardcore bands and like we're the one deathcore band. It's always been like very thrivey of hardcore. So, and now, you know, now that death metal is doing the crossover thing, like we're all playing together and I think it's bringing each thing up and I think that's really cool. So.
Death metal wins in the end.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. And I mentioned that tour you guys coming up, which is going to be like next week by the time people are listening to this, and that New England death metal fun time bonanza, which I hope becomes like a huge annual thing, man. What is there anything else that you guys want to talk about in terms of upcoming shows or things dropping? I know you guys dropped some merch recently too.
Yeah, we just dropped merch. We just put it up on our online store today, actually. We worked with Brutal Mind on that. Huge honor to work with them. As far as shows go, we got a bunch coming up. I don't know if all of them are announced yet, but we're actually playing with like a really cool band soon in May. I don't know if that's going to get dropped by the time this comes out, but it's really cool. So
and it's on
a weekday. It's on a weekday, so, you know.
It's we have proof here of you guys going to shows on weekdays and support. So you guys out. And it's 2024. People can just follow you guys on social media for more news about that type of stuff, man. And like I said before, man, I know there's some other projects. I asked you guys to shout out what lately. Is there anything else you know, with other projects you guys are working on, just to clarify for the listeners, things to look out for right now, that are like, they're like ongoing, you know, modern projects.
Yeah. So I'm also in an internet deathcore band, OG deathcore band called Vile Fixation. We put out a single, I think, last year. We're about to put out an EP soon. So that's we're hard working on that right now. I think pretty much everybody else said, like, we got Cryptic Entity and Crota Carcass, they're killing it. I think that's pretty much it. Our drummer Zach, who is currently not in the band anymore, I think he's joining this band called Deep Fear. Awesome band from Massachusetts.
No. Iron Gate.
Oh, Iron Gate. Wait, Deep Fear is his band. My bad.
Deep Fear is his other band.
Edit that out. But yeah, Iron Gate. He's joining this band called Iron Gate. They're a really cool metalcore band from Massachusetts, so everyone should check them out.
Okay. Fair enough. And you said, well, I just got to ask quickly. You said OG deathcore. I just got to ask, from my frame of reference, like, what do you mean OG deathcore? Because we did a whole episode about how deathcore.
So I would put it so I mean the name is Vile Fixation is named after a Partisan Turbine song, and they're like an OG band. We got like Abacab, like bands like that, like in that realm like MySpace deathcore, like any band that you would probably listen to on MySpace, like that's kind of what we're going for, just like death metal with breakdowns, you know, like it's not like modern deathcore. Like something you would probably check out in like 2004 for the first time ever.
Same with Corroded Carcass. We're pretty much in the same realm. We were definitely more deathcore in the beginning, like a little more core hearing, but we had our other guitarist left. So we're definitely taking like a more death metal approach to it. And we got a single that's coming out on April 20th. That'll definitely show that side. So that'll be cool.
Corroded Carcass.
Yep. Definitely check that out. It'll be everywhere.
CC, man. All right, CC is pretty lucky in death metal, man. We wish you guys all right, so I want to give you guys the opportunity to plug and promote anything else at the end, but what I always do with every guest, I'm going to ask you guys to take a minute and go around and everybody recommend one older and one newer piece of music, whether it's a demo, album, EP, anything, any genre of music. No strict rules. We just want you to talk about something from back in the day and something a little more recent that you love and that the listeners should check out.
Mike, you want to start?
The Final Resting Place EP. You got to fucking listen to that shit.
Yeah, that'd be on rules.
You do. Yeah, you do.
Yep. I would say for a new band, man, I love 200 Stab Wounds. That's like one of my favorite like newer death metal bands. Tribal Gaze. Listen to Fatuous Rump.
Yeah, wow. Wow. I bought that TV band name alone. I wasn't disappointed.
You know, for an older band, man, I love Cryptopsy. None So Vile is like one. I listen to that like every other day in full. That is one of my favorite death metal albums of all time, for sure.
Anybody else want to take a turn?
I mean, I'll shout out, well, speaking of CC, probably my favorite death metal album of all time is Kill, and I listen to it almost daily at this point in time, and probably have for the past, I guess, almost when it came out, so probably like 2008 forward. That's, I guess it's not really super old, but still old. And then I would say for new, yeah, Tribal Gaze has probably been like my favorite like modern death metal of the past few years. That's I guess like a little on the bigger side, any of their stuff, even though I like their, I guess, like original EP best, but their album that they put out last year is absolutely killer. It definitely has that like Cannibal Corpse slow, sludgy like Scourge of Iron feel to it, which I absolutely love in all death metal stuff. So big into that.
All right, man. That's a choice pick. Let me ask AJ, what have you been listening to, man?
Oddly enough, I've been going back on some bands that I maybe missed on from years ago, even in the more deathcore kind of realm. Like I just recently, maybe a couple weeks ago, been kind of, you know, touching more on stuff like Carnifex. Not a very underground take, but newer bands. Obviously, I think Rob recommended them to me. Vitriol, Corpse Pile. They're really good. I really, really dig Corpse Pile. And for an older band, you might have heard of them. I'm it's probably more in your generation. There was a band from Mass called Eternal Suffering. Very, wow. Very, very good.
Eternal Suffering.
Yeah. That's a very overlooked band from around here. They weren't around very long, but what they did do was really, really, really good.
They're sick.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I got their compilation CD with a bunch of their stuff. Man, I do remember when they were around, but I'm not trying to flex or whatever, but it's funny. Mm-hmm. I saw them back in the late 90s play at a place that's no longer around, but not really too far from where you're playing, a Shakers, another venue that was around back in the day, with a fretless bass. I'll always remember that.
Wow.
Really, yeah, really great band, Eternal Suffering, man. Yeah, that's cool shit, man. And we joke around on this podcast from time to time, but all due respect to Carnifex and Suicide Silence, and
yeah, you hear a lot of those early deathcore bands and that sound for sure. They definitely took an influence from stuff like that, and
Yeah, I'm not trying to bring. If anything, I joke around about bands like that because
shout out the Cleansing.
Yeah, I'm not taking money out of anybody's pocket by making a joke.
Right.
all right, so fair enough, guys. I appreciate your time. I encourage people to go and check out not just your EP Blended with Bile from 2022, but this new single you have, Necrotized Lining, from March of this year, and to be on the lookout for new material. What'd you say the new material was coming out in the form of?
It's going to be a 3-song split with us and Tar, 3 songs each. It's going to be coming out sometime this spring, maybe in the next couple of months. I would even say maybe towards the summer. It depends. They're getting their stuff mixed and mastered right now. Ours is already ready and out. But yeah, as far as that, I would say keep a lookout in the next 2 months.
Okay, man. And also, just one more time for listeners in the region, that's April the 24th at Shakers on Long Island, April the 25th at Skid Row Garage in Pennsylvania. The 26th is going to be announced. Look for it on social media. The 27th of April, you guys are going to be at the Meat Locker in New Jersey. And the 28th of April, you're going to be back home at the Beer Axe in Connecticut. Groaning Wretch, guys, thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate the talk. Please take the opportunity now to do any shout outs or any promos or anything that I forgot to ask you about.
Oh yeah. Shout out Tar. Immediately shout out Tar. Those are the homies. That's what we're doing big things with right now. Shout out Bonginator, shout out Frog Mallet. What do you guys have to say, huh?
Shout out Roots of Deception. They're fucking insane. They're the homies. Like I said, 2 other times, Corroded Carcass, new single, on 420. Listen to that shit.
Yeah, and then I don't and I don't have anything to plug, but one last comment. I didn't realize until I was listening to the episode with Mutilatred today of this podcast that you did vocals for or do vocals for Exsanguinated, which is crazy because I think I've watched the live set at Vitus probably more times than I can probably count, and have listened to the 2-song demo a ton of times. So that's really, really cool to find out.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. We're, as you might know, a lot of those guys are in Stabbed. So they're very.
Yeah.
Shout out Stabbed.
Yeah, we went up. I actually went up to a show with Mark in December up to see why am I blanking on the name? The guys from Power Trip's new band, Fugitive. But Mark ended up coming up to that, and we were hanging. So the next, I guess, Stab shows, and if Exsanguinated starts ripping gigs again, we would love to come down to Long Island if you guys will have us.
Yeah, well, you guys are playing our backyard next week. But yeah, just, we've played Shakers many, many long Sunday nights, long marathon shows with lots of bands, man. But yeah, Exsanguinated's kind of because of Stab's very busy, and it's hard to get it together, but hopefully we'll get it together soon, man. We got plans to do an album and all that sort of thing, man. We'll get back out. I appreciate that, man. Thanks, man.
Of course.
And with that being said, you said not much going on to talk about with Cryptic Entity coming up.
No, not really too much. Hopefully things will start picking up more towards later summer, early fall. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. We encourage people to go back and check out Cryptic Entity regardless, as well as Groaning Wretch. Guys, it's been real. Thank you so much. And we wish you luck in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you Thanks so much. For having us.
Thank you.
All right.
He's got a show to go through. I'm going to just cut it here. Guys, this will probably be out in like 2 or 3 weeks. I'll shoot you a link and, you know, we'll do the social media and all that, man. I'll be in touch.
Hell yeah.
Sick. Sounds awesome, man. Thank you.
Yo, thanks for having us. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
See you guys at the show, man. I'll talk to you in the future, man. Have a good night.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Good night. Thanks so much.
Hey, guys.
Yep. Take care.
All right, thank you very much to Groaning Wretch from Connecticut. Dave, you're back with me now, right?
I'm here.
I got you. Okay, we had some technical problems before. We sorted it out. There's in the streets, they're telling people that I'm drinking a green apple White Claw. I just think it's, you know, MDF is going on. People got the fever. They're crazy. There's rumors. I don't want to address that. But something I do want to address, you brought a band to my attention recently. Let's get into it, man. It's a very interesting recommendation. I tossed another one back at you. We're kind of like gonna go out of my comfort zone and my usual territory with metal right here, and then we're gonna suck you right back in to Long Island in a different way. Take it over, Dave. What's your new pick?
Right, my new pick is the band is called Black Braid, and the album is called Black Braid 2.
Yes,
it's a I guess like a melodic or atmospheric style black metal band from upstate New York in the Adirondacks area. And there's not a lot to say about it musically, to be quite honest. Like it's really like very well written and recorded, but it sounds a lot like Dissection. I can't describe it any other way. It's a great album, but it's all one guy. He played all the instruments, and it's Native American themed, like songs and stuff like that, and you know, sort of an interesting swing at things. You know, he did the whole album himself. I think he's got a full band now. I think he because I saw on Metalum, he's got like a bunch of like other people listed now, but yeah, the drums were programmed. I had no idea. They sound really good.
Yeah,
for being programmed. I read a New York Times article about him. Believe it or not.
Okay.
I feel so weird just saying that because it just doesn't sound right. But yeah, there's a really interesting article about him in the New York Times from like I think a year or two ago.
Well, the New York Times maybe going back, I want to say maybe not quite 10 years, maybe 7 to 8 years, they had a little hipster black metal period of the kind of Brooklyn hipster black metal movement. You know, I'm glad that at least they're covering something that is a little bit more, you know, effective in our neck of the woods, I'll just say diplomatically. But please proceed, Dave.
Yeah, the Native American theme. It's like all the instead of like the normal sort of like Norse mythology and crap that we get from like, you know, most other like European black metal and American black metal. It's all like, you know, generally broadly like Native American, I guess, history or spiritual stuff or something like that. I didn't read the lyrics, but that's just what it said in the article. And, you know, he's got some acoustic parts. Kind of nice. There's a some kind of like a traditional flute that he plays on one of the tracks.
Yeah,
sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not a lot to say, but it's a great album.
It is a great metal album. It stands apart. I believe you could probably categorize this as black metal, and it would probably be a fair assessment if people wanted to kind of block it in, but it is a standout metal album that I think people can appreciate who, you know, aren't necessarily like your usual black metal people, from power metal, people from death metal, people from whatever, you know, like you could play this album for someone who understands music and appreciates good metal and good music, and they would, you know, they would at least have to respect it. This is a respectable, commendable album. Before we even delve deeper, and there's a lot of depth to the aesthetic and the subject matter and the lyrics and everything, I've always kind of wondered, and I knew that there was a Native American metal scene, and you know, there's been Vice documentaries about bands, reservation bands. I talked about this book Res Metal that I have. We've interviewed bands who many members of which are made up of people with indigenous heritage and who know what it's like growing on a reservation. I believe we had a conversation with Maul about that subject. And what I'm all getting at here is the idea that this black metal, this European black metal idea of an ancient heritage, you know, kind of being, you know, rekindled through the idea of black metal, the idea that if it took place in the United States or in America, it would have to be indigenous people, Native American people. You know what I mean? Like, to kind of get that, like the same way that in Sweden they might do Vikings, to like over here, to have that, it's very effective. It gives you kind of chills listening to it. It's the fact that we're in black metal territory alone kind of leaves me at a little bit of a disadvantage to accurately describe this and assess this. I'm not a normal black metal person. People know who listen to this podcast. I'm a death metal and grindcore guy for the most part. And then the fact that you're throwing on this kind of like indigenous Native American heritage on there, I'm obviously an outsider there, but I walked away from this with a lot of respect and feeling like it's part of a new movement, and it's part of something that like is maybe was unavoidable and was like bound to happen within black metal, was that for an American indigenous heritage to come out of it too. It's like black metal in that way worldwide. People could kind of, wherever you're from, you know, whatever your heritage is, people are kind of like injecting that in this. So there's something really American in this in terms of region, not necessarily country, right? If that makes sense, or political entity, regional. And getting to the music, I was taken aback. The only thing I really have to compare this to in terms of the metal involved is kind of top tier melodic but brutal Swedish bands that I'm familiar with. Hypocrisy came to mind, maybe a little bit later on in their career after Obscillum Obscenum, when they got more into melody. Dissection, obviously, and maybe Lord Belial came to mind with that, you know, that melodic and epic black metal. The production here is brutal enough for your death metal fans to really be on board with this. The drums, it's funny that you mentioned the drums were programmed, but they sound great. Just a lot of deep respect for this album on a lot of levels, and it's very interesting. It captured my attention, and I'm looking forward to see what this band, and in my opinion, maybe what's going on, a movement that they might be part of, is doing, because they're not the only band of indigenous heritage that's kind of celebrating that, in, you know, within, you know, from America and within a, you know, with that mindset. Nowadays, people can look further into that. We interviewed Yosuke from Nuclear War Now Records. They put out a band. I'm trying to look up the name of the band now. I think it was hard for me to pronounce, but they put out a Native American band recently too, and have some of that content as well. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of rambling here, Dave, but do you get what I'm saying, man? Am I making sense here?
I do, yeah. And that was actually, again, I'm referencing that New York Times article, because I really didn't know anything about this band. Like, I just found out about this band like last Saturday at work. So they're still like totally new to me, but he was saying that like he's not drawing on like a particular like, oh, like this one tribe or something like that or whatever. Okay. It's like it's just broadly like indigenous Native Americans culture that he's drawing upon for influence.
I would like to, I'm going to look up this article. And maybe we could delve into this a little bit further. You know, maybe we could even speak to this guy or somebody involved with that band. That would be interesting to get into. Definitely a compelling topic and a compelling band. And like I said, an album, you know, I don't want to downplay the subject matter and what this band stands behind, but also an album that, like I said, kind of shines universally, in my opinion, as a top tier metal album, regardless of what your kind of home base of metal is, whether it's death metal or doom metal or black metal or power metal. Anybody could get something out of this album. This is a really top tier album. And I mentioned those Swedish bands. That's what I wanted to say. What you talked about, the part with the traditional flute and the acoustic guitars, there's something there that, again, kind of strikes a very American tone, and more in terms of like region. I'm not talking about America, I'm not saying the USA, but like kind of like traditional indigenous American music there. And it's so black metal, in my opinion, because black metal seems to be, from what I can gather, this idea of bringing something ancient, and esoteric, you know, back from your own personal heritage in the form of music and in the form of metal. So what more could I say about this? I'm going to read that New York Times article. I encourage the listeners to do so. And I also encourage the listeners, particularly if you're more familiar with the subject matter we're discussing here, email us at heavyholepodcast@gmail.com. And the voicemail number should be in the description wherever you're listening to this. So that's all I'll say there, Dave. Any parting thoughts on this album?
No, I think you did a pretty good job of summing it up. I do just want to mention, I forgot about this when I was talking, the guy that programmed the drums and like did the recording and everything for this album, his name is Neil Schneider. And I tried looking him up, and he's not like attached to a studio or anything that I could see, but his Metallum is like, he's a very prolific musician from like upstate New York. So I did not get a chance to like delve into any of his music, but I'm really interested to check it out, because if his like recording skills are such, and his drum programming skills are such, then I'm sure some of the music is going to be interesting.
We're going to do our best to reach out in the future. That's all. So I don't really discuss much about our booking process or anything, and I respect people's privacy, but it would be a great conversation to have, I'm sure. And that being said, Dave, you want to kick the name of the band and the album one more time for Tom as he cuts it up, as he always does.
Okay. The band name is Black Braid, all one word, and the album is Black Braid 2, like Roman numeral 2.
Take it away, Tom. And I brought something to the table tonight. I said Long Island. It's kind of like there's a distinct Long Island and New York influence in this. It's something that's probably going to be, I think a lot of people listening to the show are going to be familiar with this by now. They've been making the rounds. I want to talk a little bit more in depth about Final Resting Place. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that last week Terrell and I cut it up a little bit about this, and I previewed the fact that I'm going to be talking about it with you, Dave. I bought this CD from Daze, D-A-Z-E, Daze Records, Final Resting Place, Prelude to Extinction. Have you seen the album cover, Dave?
I have, yeah.
You, of all people, should appreciate the Entorturement Scattered Remnants remix visuals going on here.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, yeah. Oh, they're using the Entorturement font, which I think is not a real font, but they're definitely doing a good job of covering the,
copying it.
Yeah. And it does look like that.
Come on, man.
The Scattered Remnants full length. Pretty much exactly. Like with the little square in the corner.
Yeah. And what I love too, 90s style, they dropped in a little photocopied advertisement for a t-shirt inside of the, CD case there. No 4X available, by the way, guys. So This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tracks of, I'm going to say, New York style death metal, as an old head who remembers a time and place when this was primarily a style played by bands in New York and sometimes clowned upon by other regions for having hip hop and hardcore influences. Dave, I want to let you take it away on this one before I rant and ramble. I already gave the listeners kind of a preview of how I feel about this. You know, I bought the CD. What's your take on this? And just also for the listeners, Dave has done extensive discussions with us regarding entorturement and internal bleeding and growing up on Long Island and all that sort of thing, as you heard before. So Dave, I really want to get your input on this a little bit.
Yeah, so you were just saying you consider it like death metal, like brutal death metal. I kind of like, I listened to it a couple times and I got to file it under deathcore. That's just, you know, it's got a lot of elements. Like, there's a lot of shit that I liked about this, you know, a lot of great riffs, a lot of great parts, but it really, it leaned like into the hardcore sort of like vibes for me, like as far as like song structures and stuff like that. Like, there was parts that like, I'd be listening to a cool part and I'd be like, this is cool. And it would kind of just go on a little too long of them just sort of playing the same part over and over again. Like, I was expecting like a change, like a cool grind part or something, or like a cool blast beat or technical riff or something like that to kind of pop in. And it just doesn't.
Nope.
You know, that said, like, they're really good. Like, I listened to it like 3 or 4 times today and I really enjoyed it. But there was just, it was that one thing where it just seemed like it's like pit music, you know, it's just like, it's like beatdown music.
Yes.
And, you know, that's awesome for people that like that kind of stuff. But it's just like, I think I've said it during other discussions we've had. Like, I'm sort of just like, I've like hit the wall with that stuff. Like the sort of like, you know, the really overt, like, you know, pit riff songs and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I would be very interested to hear where they go in the future, like what the next album sounds like or something like that. But I think this is really good. I wouldn't buy this personally. But what do you think?
I agree with 99% of what you said up to the point where I liked it enough to buy it.
Well, yeah.
I just personally liked it enough to actually buy the CD. But like, I kind of agree with you. Yeah, it's definitely more core than death metal because of the lack of like momentum changes, I'm going to say, and blast beats and kind of like it doesn't. Here's what I'm going to say about it. If we're going to get it like that, we're men of a certain age. The way I've come to kind of accept it, there's old rules and there's new rules. And we're living under the old rules. There's bands now, as far as they're concerned, it's all death metal. And I agree with you, and I'm just trying to like rationalize my own understanding of it. I don't want to get too deep on it because I enjoy this band. And it's just like the new style of crossover, in my opinion. I like this new style of death metal. And I've been saying, a few years ago, and I've been reminding everybody for months now, like out of my own ego, because I don't want anyone to forget. I said a few years ago, a lot of this old OSDM movement, it's going to turn into bands jock in the late 90s, brutal New York style, Skinless and all that stuff. I believe that's come to pass now. And I also said, I'm curious, and I can't wait till some of these bands move into their progressive experimental periods. Look at the last Tomb Mold album. Those guys have grown by leaps and bounds. Look at Slime Lord, for instance. Look at their latest album. You know, there's a lot of these bands that kind of came out of this, you know, this more recent generation of newer death metal bands. They're really coming into their own now. What I am interested in, I want to follow Final Resting Place, and I want to follow some of these newer, younger bands. Shout to Groaning Wretch, who we just talked to. I am interested where they're going with this, because these are also guys that are the same age or younger that me and my friends were when we were in Cursed Earth and Biolich, right? So it's like, I'm almost, and I'm not trying to sound condescending or trying to sound like I have laurels to rest on. I'm still actively working and trying to build my legacy. You know, and I've lost more opportunities than I have at this point. I've lost more hair than I have at this point too. All I'm trying to say is I follow this like almost like the way some people might follow sports. I like to like the way you're looking at the college teams, right? You know, the up and comers. You want to see the you're following who's got a prospective career. I'm looking at these bands that just dropped a CD and they're just playing their first couple of shows. And I'm like, damn, this is kind of interesting. I want to see where this goes a few years from now, man. And I say this with all due respect. I'm just watching the younger. It's different now. I'll never know what it's like for these kids growing up. That's why I'm so interested in interviewing these younger bands, because I don't know what it's like to grow up with the internet right there. I don't know what it's like to grow up and Slipknot is as big as Aerosmith was when I was, you know, 10 years old. Like, I don't, so it's like, I, you know, it's different for them. And Dave, I'm not trying to argue with you or just, or like, I agree with almost everything you said. Like,
up to, like, I did not think you were arguing with me.
I'm just like justifying my purchase of the CD this whole time. No, but shout out to Final Resting Place. We'd love to have them on the show. I'm just going to close there. I haven't really even like given my analyzation of the music, or whatever, all my analysis of the music, I should say. Shout out to my college educated friends. It's, I see this as, if you want to call it hardcore or deathcore, I can see your point in terms of composition, maybe, and the way it's maybe aimed at being effective live in a certain way, but they really do a good job of kind of making it a pedigree choice of influences. If you're from like guys like you and me, we like, you know, we know most of Internal Bleeding's like catalog and Pyrexia and especially Dehumanized. There's something about the snare drum work on this Final Resting Place CD that I feel has a lot of reverence for Dehumanized and the kind of choicely placed grooves. This is just an homage, almost a love letter, pause, to that scene that you and I kind of grew up in. So I chose to embrace it, man. And I just want to say that, and that's going to be my final resting words. Dave, what do you think about, maybe just to close out, any final, you know, comments on this before we take it away?
Yeah, I agree that they definitely listen to a lot of Dehumanized. They definitely, it's all over it. But yeah, I think everyone should check it out, because it's not for me, but like you and I say all the time, we're fucking old. And it's probably not really for us. You know, the way like the younger generations, like they do, like when we were younger, like the way it was like you listen to death metal and you listen to hardcore, but the two didn't really mix.
Yeah,
you just listen to the two styles separately. But now it's like that's what a lot of bands do, is they just mix hardcore with the death metal.
Yeah, it's, dude, it's and it's the wild,
it works. It, you know, it's cool. It's just not personally my thing.
It's like peanut butter and jelly. Some people got the chunky peanut butter. Some people got some people allergic to peanuts. They got some other type of shit in there. Some people like, dude, the different types,
you
of jelly.
Weird?
Yeah.
I don't like peanut butter and jelly.
Dave.
I like peanut butter sandwiches. The idea of putting peanut butter and jelly together is just fucking, it's gross.
That's on brand for you, Dave. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know why, but it just makes sense. It just makes sense. I don't know, man. It's just too much excitement putting the jelly in there. You're kind of a low-key guy. I get it. You just want the protein. Let's keep it moving, you know?
Yeah, I like it. I like my sandwiches to get stuck to the roof of my mouth so I can drink a little extra coffee to wash it down.
Yeah, coffee and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, man. That sounds good about now, man. Listen, before we get sidetracked and I start recommending sandwiches, we haven't even cut in the music yet. I'm going to grab a PB&J. You're just going to grab a PB, I guess, or a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Wow, a peanut butter jelly sandwich and a Pabst Blue Ribbon, man. That's not, that's gross.
Tom. I was going to say I would try it.
Yeah, Dave, of course. There you go, Dave. Final. That's probably that's on our rider for the next Reeking Orator. So get used to it, Dave.
I like it.
That's all we're surviving on, man, across the country, over 40. Listen, Tom, do me a favor. Get us out of here, bro. Let's talk about that. You punched it up last week, too. Final Resting Place, Prelude to Extinction from Daze, D-A-Z-E Records, man. Check them out, man. We're back, man. Thank you very much to Groaning Wretch. We appreciate talking to those guys, getting different perspectives on things. Check them out on all the tour dates we talked about, man. We talked about all that stuff. They're coming to a town near you, including Long Island. They're going to be at Shakers. There's a lot of shows coming up in May, Dave. Have you taken note of any shows coming up in May? Because there's a whole swath of them.
Yeah, I always enjoy May because it's the... like especially in the New York area,
yeah.
We get all the runover from Maryland Death Fest.
Yeah, it's MDF season. Yeah.
Yeah, all the extra shows, like bands, they'll like land, their planes land here, so they're just like, oh, we'll play a show at St. Vitus. Huh. And I don't know, I haven't been paying that close attention, but I do know that Blood is playing.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm into that, but...
Yeah, buddy boy. Blood is definitely... Yeah, shout out to Ralph and Haunted Hotel Records, man. We got to get Ralph back. But yeah, Blood is coming through. There's a lot of crazy shows, man. Cenotaph from Turkey is coming through. Internal Suffering's back in town.
That set looks fucking sick, that lineup.
Yeah, Bing Bong. I mean, there's a lot of crazy shit. Shaker's having a lot of shows in May coming up, man. A lot of nuts shit. Check out... I'm all... I'm just a little flustered right now because I've been trying to take a deep breath and not think about the metal scene alleging that I've been puffing on this whatever the fuck it is, but I'm looking for NYC. NYCmetalscene.com, of course, my constant for knowing and keeping up what's going on with metal shows, Long Island, New York City. He lists stuff that's in like Philly, upstate, sometimes wherever, like also all over the place. Check out NYCmetalscene.com. But that being said, like I said, shout out to Groaning Wretch. Thank you for their time. We're on Patreon, Heavy Hole Podcast. Give us a email at heavyholepodcast@gmail.com or drop us a voicemail at the phone number in the description wherever you're listening to this. Dave, happy listening to all that stuff. Thank you for sharing that, like, well-curated laundry list of amazing vinyl drops and things that you bought before. That's pretty impressive.
My pleasure, man. I do it all for you.
You don't even listen to it. You just buy it. We write it off for the podcast. Yeah. No, that's
I don't
not...
actually own a record player.
Yeah. Oh, dude, there's people that are into that. Don't tell me you're one of those.
One of those people that just buys stuff, like, and just, like, I leave it sealed.
Yeah,
it's like a Beanie Baby for me.
Goes straight in a time capsule for 6 months, then it goes on eBay. That's what some people really do, man. There's a whole hustle with that. I can't knock the hustle, man. It's crazy. I got to get rid of all this fishing gear, dude, and all this shit, man. It's crazy. I got so much shit in the house, man. I got to start selling fishing gear. I might have to make like a limited noise project that comes with a fishing reel or something. We'll see how goes.
Are you giving up fishing?
What's that?
Are you giving up fishing?
No, I just have, I could go fishing like every day for the rest of my life and not use this stuff, man. The only way this is going to go down is if I give up death metal and start a professional charter fishing boat. And then I would get arrested for a DUI on the water at some point. It's, I used to date a girl right here from sunny Huntington Station. Her father is the reason they made DUI boating laws in... I think in Suffolk County. I don't think it was the whole state, but definitely in Suffolk County at some point. Or they made a DUI. They changed the DUI boating law because of him. I dated that man's daughter. I almost mixed my genetics with that.
That's I respect that.
Yeah. No, he was interesting guy. he was an interesting